Well, back in the 150th Psalm, verse 1. Let's just look at verse 1 and then go to verse 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And we were looking at a number of passages, actually, at this point, there's a number of passages, and we're going to look at a number of more passages tonight about praising God for his display of his strength. And we said that this power, or the mighty acts of God, this display of his power and might, it is that which is exclusive to God alone. We gave the example of creation. Only God can create something out of nothing. And only God can sustain creation. Man can't. That's why, again, the whole notion of global whatever, the suffix keeps changing every 5 minutes. Global warming, cooling, whatever, doesn't matter. The fact is, man cannot sustain the creation because he didn't create the creation. Only God can do it. And if these winter storms aren't an evidence of that, then there's nothing anyone can convince you to see the sensibility that man cannot sustain something he didn't create. It's the marvel of his own hands. We looked at Deuteronomy 3:24, but we were at 2 Chronicles 20. And we want to turn back there. We already looked at 1 Chronicles 29:12, and again, we already looked at Deuteronomy 3:24. We're looking at Jehoshaphat and separating the issues of why he gave God praise. Stood in the congregation, verse 5, of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? So we begin to examine individually high points in Jehoshaphat's praise and prayer to God. Number one, he exalted God's name. He called out and called him Jehovah. We talked about the fact that the names of God is to be hallowed, is not to be cheapened or used loosely without regard or connected to profanity, that the names of God is to be sanctified. And if you notice, and this is something that is readily seen, and it's a reflection of the understanding that the Jews had in not taking the name of God in vain. You very rarely see the Lord's name being used outside of some sort of worship or recognition of the power of God. You don't just see the name of God being flippantly used. You know, no one goes OMG, all that kind of stupidity that people just flippantly use the name of God. You don't see that among the people of God in the Old Testament. You don't see it in the New Testament. His name is either spoken of in reverence and worship, in praise of deliverance or some sort of victory, or when there is a praise given to his name, who he is, etc. But you don't see people conversing and just flippantly using the name of God. That just doesn't happen. So he exalted the name of God. Then he exalted the greatness of God. In other words, God is the God of the heavens. And we saw various passages last time. Then we began, number three, he exalted the sovereignty of God, and that God rules over everything, including the heathen, for his purpose, everything and everyone. We did look at 1 Chronicles 29, I believe Psalm 47:2 and verse 8, Jeremiah 27:5-11. We went through Daniel 4, verses 25 and verses 32 and 35. We want to go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. All this amazing truth about God. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 31. Just bear in mind again, we're talking about the fact that Jehoshaphat exalted the sovereignty of God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I mean, water is huge. You think about the, when you think about, and you really don't think about it because you really can't comprehend it. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, that's why I'm stuttering, because I'm trying to figure out what to say. Now, I want you to try, and I know you're not going to do it. I can't do it. You know you can't do it. Anyone listening, you know you can't either, so be quiet. I want you to try for a second to do something we all know we can't do. I want you to try to imagine every single drop of water in every ocean, every lake, every stream, every river. The depths of it, the totality. What is the earth? 70% water? The totality of all the water on this planet. And the writer said that all the waters in this entire planet can fit in the hollow, the center, the smallest, right deep down in the depth of his hand, and you barely even make a note, barely even see it. I can't comprehend that. I that's beyond my ability. He says, who hath measured, God measured the waters of the earth and just said, there it is. And measured out heaven with the span, and measured the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. All this wonderful language expressing the greatness of the Creator and the care, the loving care that He took forth in creating all these things. It's just so, you know, man thinks that the beauty of creation happened out of chaos. The Big Bang Theory is a theory of chaos. Just, you know, kaboom, and everything just happened, which is absurd. You know, the creation reveals a Creator, that someone, a magnificent being, took the time to create the beauty of all things. Chaos is a stupid theory born and created by those who simply refuse to acknowledge the fact that God is God. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, had taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Who's smarter than God? In other words, behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket. Now, there's a lot of nations. Again, let's go back to the water reference, and then let's go to the nations reference. Again, this is, we can't, the point is not that we be able to comprehend it, because that's the whole point. The point of knowing all the oceans and how that fits, how the Creator, you know, measured all the waters in the hollow of his hand, this at the shallow part of his hand, right in the center, and just measured it all out. And then he talks about here, all the nations are like a drop in a bucket. I mean, there's a lot of nations with a lot of people, with a lot of land. And yet he says they're nothing. And they're counted as the small dust upon the balances, or of the balances. Behold, he taketh up the coast as a very little thing. The isles are nothing to God. Dust, nothing. That's it. They don't make a dent in anything he is. All nations before him as nothing, and they are accounted as less than nothing and vanity. So all the nations in his presence are as nothing. Now, what's nothing? Nothing. So listen to what he says. They are as nothing in his presence, and they are counted to him less than nothing. And nothing. Vanity is nothing. It's It's another way of saying the same thing. Emptiness, vanity, nothing. I can't comprehend that. Except to say that, verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Okay. What likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth and casteth an image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Of course it has to Israel. They knew it. Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell in, who bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yes, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. In other words, their generations of children after them won't prosper. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. Can you imagine that? The imagery. God just, and that's it. End of discussion. The emphasis here is that the writer is showing that God does something so insignificant in terms of, you know, expending his power. He can just puff at a person. Puff at a nation is gone. He has that much power just to end of discussion. Just that's it. And the whirlwind shall take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? That's why I can't wait to get in Isaiah. Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, which bringeth out their host by number? He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth. God knows how many stars there are. We don't, and never will. He does. In fact, he counted them out when he made them. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me is passed away from my God? In other words, I got away with sin. God didn't judge me, so I'm okay. Really? No, not okay. Mm-mm. Has I not known? Has I not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God doesn't faint. In other words, he's not tired. He's not weary, so he doesn't need a nap. There's no searching of his understanding. His understanding is incomprehensible to human beings. That's why I don't understand why God did it. And your point is, well, I don't know why God's. And your point is, well, how could a loving God? And your point is, you think you know better than God, fool? I don't know why God allowed this to happen, that to happen. And your point is what? You are not God. He doesn't owe you an explanation. All these people over in Haiti, you know, some reports saying 500,000 people are dead. How could a loving God, who are you to sit in criticism of God? Shall the thing form say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God can do what he wants with his creation, and is none of your business what God is doing. You have no idea. You didn't give a hoot and toot about Haiti anyway. You just said that to criticize God. Or like you said, or God. Suddenly you want to act like a theologue. You're a theo-fool. That's what you are, a fool. Suddenly you want to start talking about God and Haiti like you cared about either one of them. God knows everything about every soul in that land. And he has a purpose for every one of them. Whether you understand or not is not the least bit important. There's no searching of his understanding. So you criticizing God and questioning what God does is irrelevant, because you wouldn't understand it even if he told you. He giveth power to the faint and to those that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. I don't care how strong you are, sooner or later, you're going to get tired. I don't care how young you are, so you're going to fall. Them bones are going to get all frail. Like the man last night was telling me with that broken leg playing basketball. I said, yeah, we used to play for years. I said, it really stinks sometimes, get old, don't it? You know, we're young, did a lot of things. I said, I'm 54, not 24. I had to accept it, you know, and be thankful for it. You have to accept the fact that young men going to get weary. We're going to faint. You're going to fail. Fail, in one sense, means you're going to die. One day it's going to be over. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That don't mean I'm going to be able to play like I'm 18. I'm waiting on the Lord. He's going to give me strength to go out there and play a 20-game series of racquetball. No, I'm going to be on a slab in some coroner's office, fool died of being a fool. Said on the coroner's report, D would say, put on that misinterpreted Isaiah 40:31. He died as a fool died. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is the creator. The point is that God is sovereign in all things. And this, he rules everything, everyone, total dominion, does what he wants, answers to no one. He doesn't answer to you. That's the thing about God doesn't answer to you or me. Well, how could God? Shut up. God doesn't answer to you about his creation. Who in the world are you to question God about anything? I don't make it my business to question God. He's God. If I find something wrong, I start with myself and end there. Ain't no need for you to be questioning God about nothing. What else? Well, Jehoshaphat, he exalted the power of God. He said he's almighty, all powerful. No one is able to stand against him so as to defeat or to resist him. God does not move one iota by human beings from doing all of his will and all of his creation. Nothing anybody can do to stop God. Nothing. It's beyond ridiculous. It really is. He said, you're the God of heaven. You rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the earth, of the heathen? In thy hand is there not power and might? None is able to withstand thee? Yeah, power and might. You're almighty. Look at Psalm 62, verses 5 through 11. You're almighty. I'm telling you, we don't treat God like he's almighty. We treat him like an equal. Throw a little bone at him, and a little praise bone, we think we're okay. God is to be worshipped. 62, verses 5 through 11. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. Oops. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. I mean, come on. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity. There we go again. Whatever a man is, he's at best vanity. And men of high degree are a lie. That's vanity. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. That's one thing to be vanity, which is nothing and emptiness, but to be lighter than vanity is the equivalent, like Isaiah says, of being less than nothing. You know, it's interesting that he talks about men of high degree. There is I was listening briefly yesterday to someone's program. I try not to listen to too much stuff because it gets quite boring. But they were arguing that in the past few years, people who were considered heroes, you look at the people who were considered heroes, they were men and women of renown that really did things that mattered, great deeds that mattered. And you look at people now who they consider heroes, like, I'm not going to name any of them because I don't want to give them any alleged credit. The difference is now that you see circulations of magazines that actually tell stories about people actually doing things significant, that they're all dwindling if they're not out of publication. They said, but the one news rags that haven't been affected by the economy have all been the gossip papers. In fact, they're increasing. People are buying them by the droves because people are interested, and they get all carried away with people who are famous just because they're famous. They add nothing to society. Nothing. They add nothing to it. They're just famous to be famous. They're like a big comet that makes a huge stream, a big tail, and then poof, they're gone. And this is the media is focused on really the vanity of vanities, the people that have no impact on anything. And that's the obsession. And it's sad, but it's really, I'm going to say this, I want to be understood very clearly by all who are listening. It is the death knell to the values of this country, that we sit and exalt the worst of the worst of people and give them some kind of status as if they're important when they are actually vanity and less and lighter than vanity. They're nothing, not doing anything. And how we're interested in the horrific details of the trashiness of their life, as if any of that was important. It's important to nothing. It adds to nothing. It exalts nothing of any character. It just feeds the garbage. It feeds the mentality of the loss. It feeds the ego. It feeds this self-righteousness that we think we're better than the people that who are being trashed, and how we want to give an opinion and say, yeah, they're just a bunch of that deserve what they got. I can't stand why this woman's doing this. I can't stand why this man did this. It just feeds the madness, the insanity, the nonsense. And this is supposed to be important. To what end? It just breeds contempt and bitterness, as I've been seeing for years. It feeds the monster of insanity and insaneness. And we get all caught, and people get caught up in it. You know, is Leno's move back to late night? And Conan was crying before his staff, and he's not going to take it. He don't know what he's going to do when some other, you know, Letterman, no fossil whoremonger, he's criticizing Leno, and this guy's criticizing Why is any of that to any degree of any relevance to anything at all? Have we gotten so low and so vain and empty in our society that these things are the things we want to talk about? It's all that matters. It's incredible to watch this. We exalt the less than nothing. It is a death knell of the culture in this society. It is the clearest evidence that our culture is gone. We don't even think anymore. It's not even important. Thinking is gone. It's gone. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. And look at what we did to people who were of high degree, who were crooks. SNL scandals, all this stuff. We brought them down and felt self-righteous. I'm glad they get it. Now they know how I feel. Fool, they don't care about how you feel. People got money all over the place. You ain't never going to be like them. And they ain't going to never be like you. They'll spend a couple years in jail or come out and still be living high in the hall, and you still be, you know, getting unemployment and mad. It's like this whole adversarial mentality just constantly breeding and festering, and those that have not are angry with those that have. It feeds the lowest part of our own humanity, the disgust of humanity. And we teach this disgust to generations after generations. Everyone's at war with each other, fighting each other, mad at each other over nothing. Over nothing. You cut me off, you blankety blank. I'm gonna get up my gun. We gonna play, you know, gunfight the old K Corral on the 405. Ta ta ta. You know, like we some kind of like we and Steve McQueen and Bullet shooting guns to each other through the car window. Bunch of madness. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon it. Don't get all happy that you get wealth. Don't get all excited. Don't set your heart on it. God had spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongeth unto God. It's all his. It don't belong to you. If he give you whatever he gives you, it's because he wants you to use it for his purpose. And if you don't, then you ain't learned nothing. Matthew chapter 6. A lot of us ain't learned a doggone thing. You know, Lord willing, in the next few days, in this, and I'm not saying this in any way that's boastful. God knoweth. Lord willing, in the next few days, God has blessed me with a job I never even saw coming, never even thought about, with a tremendous opportunity to really minister in ways that I never would have even imagined. And the potential for growth and the potential for expansion, I'm not going to get in any details either. I don't want y'all trying to ruin anything. So my enemy is going to get really miffed. That's their problem. But that God has truly opened up a tremendous opportunity to really bless not only myself and my family, but this wonderful doctor, this saint of God who's opened her practice and allowed me to be a part of it. And it's a tremendous blessing. And I look forward to everything that God will do to exalt himself and to lift up this sister and to expand the business in ways that will help people. Because really, it's all about that when you look at it. Ultimate goal being, of course, and frankly, the only goal would be glorifying God. And how that's done in the minutia of things, the day-to-day things, and also in the expanse of touching the lives of people, I can't even fathom what's happening except to thank God continually for what he's done. And looking forward to this transition, Lord willing, in the next few days to tackle this magnificent and wonderful job. And I definitely desire the prayers of everybody that God did not forsake his servant. He did not forsake his servant. When many people did, he didn't. And I give him glory for that. When so-called saints and so-called friends forsook us, and that's what they did. I'm going to tell like it is. And they cut us off, and they had nothing but contempt for us when we showed them love, like David said in the Psalms. And we couldn't understand it, but we understood God. And we held on and trusted the Lord and believed him. And we had great, great discussion and great pains and great sorrows and great tears. And yet at the same time, we always knew that God is God and that he would exalt himself in due time. And we had concluded that if he took it all away, he's still God. And don't matter what happens to us, God is always going to be God. And God is not a conditional God based on what he does or doesn't do to our lives. And God showed his mercy again and allowed me to have get involved in a job that, again, is beyond my comprehension. And he just opened up a tremendous door in a horrible economy. But that's who God is. God is a merciful God. And he didn't reward me because I'm so special, because I'm not. I'm just a lonely, lowly, big black preacher who always believed that God will honor those who teach his truth. And I've seen this for the last 33 years, that God is true to those who preach his word. He will deliver and use them. And God is opening up this door for that purpose again. The ministry will expand in ways we haven't even thought about. I'm having a hard time trying to conceive saying these things to you. But I want to personally thank those of you who've been praying for the Howard family. And your prayers have not been in vain. Your prayers have been answered in a magnificent way. And those of you who have helped us during our time of need, I'm going to definitely reward you. Once we get finished with the Psalms, you'll get all the messages of Isaiah, all the messages of Revelation when they become available. And that's exclusively to those who were gracious enough to pray with us and help us in our time of need, who didn't abandon us, you know. And I made a public proclamation, I'm going to keep my word, that once God prospers us, I'm going to help those who helped us and help some of the saints in need on a continual basis, to make sure that we do not do to others as others have done to us, and who have abandoned us for no reason and have left us out for dead. Well, it didn't work. Thanks be to God. Now we want to return monies to those saints who have helped us and help others in need. And that's what we want to do. And we want to glorify God in all of it. So I want to make sure that those of you who have been praying for us and you listen, rest assured that your prayers have been answered, and don't stop praying. Okay, go to phase two in prayer. Pray that the work that God has put in my heart and in my life will uphold and uplift this sister and her medical work and touch the lives of many people, so that in all things God will be glorified. That's what I'm asking. Thank you so much for everything. God is all powerful. Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He is the power. If there's any power to be had, he is it. Acts 11:17. You former members, if you had just waited, if you had just been patient, if you had told the truth and done the right thing, you would have been blessed. Beyond, you have no idea what God is doing. You would have been blessed, but you were foolish and you lied, and now you know nothing. You have no idea what God is doing and what he's going to. You would have been blessed. You would have been able to share in the blessing of what's happening, but you messed up. I'm not saying you can't repent. That's not my statement at all. I'm just saying that, you know, some people, this church is sinking. The church ain't sinking. People were calling me, we're sorry to hear that your church stopped. Well, what are you talking? Who told you that lie? The devil? I ain't never told you nothing. I'd never tell you that Foundation of Truth was over. What demon told you that? I never published it. You didn't read about it. And last I check, unless this is some kind of a clone, I've been preaching every day, no matter who's here. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, you know, sometimes the Wednesday night services change days, but we still get another service in the week. You know, the point is that nothing stopped. I don't know what people, their mentality, they don't get it. God didn't call me to stop. He called me to preach until my feet up in air. To put me in a flip-top box, I'm going to keep on preaching. Now, what people do, I keep trying to tell you, but y'all don't pay no mind. You don't seem to understand the English language. You keep thinking I'm like you. And if you perceive that I'm going to respond like you, that's how you're going to treat me. I ain't you. Or for those who are more grammatically inclined, I am not you. Acts 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the same gift as he gave did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I reading the right verse? Let me see. I think I got 1:17. That's the one I'm wanting. I mean, it's a great verse, but not the one that's... Let's see, 1:17. No, that's not it either. Oh, 1-7. Boy, I really messed up here. 1-7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's his power to do what he wants with the times and the seasons and the epochs of human history is not yours to be concerned. It ain't like if you don't get your roadmap to what's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, God is in control. That's why the Lord said, take no thought for this life. What you shall eat. We all do it. And he says, stop doing it. He said, if you want to take this energy of yours that you waste in worry, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And all things you're worried about will be added to you. Fear not, little children. It's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. What's a little food and clothing down here? Romans 9:20. We're going to finish sometime. He exalted the power of God. The fact that God is almighty. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you? But it's who in the world do you think you are replying against God? Notice what he said. Replieth against God. Like you're the antagonist against God. You have a right to, who are you? To question, to negate and to act negatively towards God. Who are you? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed him, why hast thou made me thus? I've told you time and time again, I've made pottery. I've built little wooden things and clay pots and cups and ashtrays and stuff years ago. I ain't never heard one of them say a thing. Never. If it did, I'd have run out the room. It did what I wanted to have done. When I was on the wheel and I was wheeling it, I had a design in mind. And well, we gotta do it again. So you took that piano wire and just lifted it off and you slapped that clay back down. You beat them air bubbles out. And the rocks is a beat on, just knead on it, get them rocks and dirt and stuff. You start all over again. You get the water. Wheel spin around, get the little water, get your hands all. And then it's windy where you want it. You start the wheel, you take that wire, you go on the bottom of the base and carefully go through the bottom, lift it up off there. You set it, let it dry a little while. You have to think about it. Stuff has to be gently sanded off or chipped off, whatever. And you go through the whole process of putting the kind of coating you want on it. I want it to look like this. I want some spots and stripes and stick figures and whatnot. So you paint on it what you want. None of it. Look, man, I want to be black with gold. No, not a smack thing off the table, kept running. I never had a potted ashtray, a vase or anything tell me anything. And whatever I wanted to put on it, that's what I put on it. And that kiln was hot. I didn't hear it go, no, Put it in there, close that door, turn that kiln on, went about my business. Came back the next day, that pot looks good. Yeah, Scratched my name in the bottom of it. It was what I wanted. I made it the way I wanted to. It served my purpose. I gave it to whom I wanted. It was my will. God said, who are you to reply against me? I'm your creator. You shut up and do what I tell you to do. I'm telling you, we don't understand this God. We retool him to be like us. God is not a man. How many times does God have to say it? I can't wait to get into Isaiah. Oh, that's going to be some study. Who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed the wise that made me thus? Had not the potter power of the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? God has power to do what he wanted. He ain't asking nobody. God is not asking us anything. I never see God ask me. I never sense that God was asking me to do something as if he needed to ask me something. I never perceived God saying, "What do you think, Harley, about what do I think?" No, that's madness. If anything, I'm saying, "Lord, what I need to do?" Because I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do, and I ain't going to act like I do. And we act like we God's advisor. Who have known the mind of the Lord, we may count be his instructor. We saw that in the references early. Who's God's counselor? Jeremiah chapter 10. I mean, this exercise can go on, and it's a good exercise. Don't get me wrong. It's a great way to end the book. You say, "But you're not in the book." I'm in the book. Be quiet. Learn something. You got to learn to learn. That's a pretty good statement. You got to learn to learn. A lot of folk ain't learned to learn yet. They keep talking. They're not learning. Verse 6, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might." In other words, he's all powerful. "There's none like him and none powerful. Not only none powerful like him, but none powerful at all. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations?" Who in their right mind would not fear the all-powerful God? Who? "A fool, for to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee." Who would not fear thee? King of nations. You're the ruler of all nations. You are the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Whether they know it or not is not relevant. You are the king of all nations. You do what you want. Among all the wise men of all the kingdoms of the world, in all of history, there's none wiser than you. In fact, put them all together, it wouldn't even have a passing thought that would be more important than all of what God is. Yeah, it's amazing. Psalm 89:13. We're talking about the fact that God is all powerful. Praise him according to his mighty power. Verse 13 of Psalm 89, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand." Strong and high, great and powerful, and all great and all powerful. All might is in his hand. The one thing I feared growing up, and I was very conscious of it, which is something I'm thankful for, is that I would grow old and bitter. You know why people grow old and bitter? Because they forget God. They forget to stop growing in him. I was talking to a young lady today. I had to laugh because what she said was so right. I hope I remember what she said because it was so funny. I fell out. She said, "Harley, I don't know where I'm going sometimes." She said, "Sometimes I overanalyze." She overanalyzed herself, and then she contradicts herself. I said, "Doesn't that cancel out each other?" She said, "Yeah, that's why I don't know what I'm doing." I said, "I hear you. I said, I feel the same way. Now that's why I got to stop thinking. I have to stop this deal." She said, "There's so much going on in my head." I said, "I know. We have to just stop it. You could wind up going crazy." But my point should have been, I'm making a point, is that I'm glad I didn't get to the place where I just said, "Well, I'm fine who I am. I'm just going to stop growing. You know, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys for Us kid. You know, I just want to just be stuck on stupid, not growing." And I've arrived at, I'm 50, so I'm there. No, I want to grow every day, learn something all the time, learn more about God above all things. And keep growing, keep learning how wonderful God is. Never get pigeonholed like I see so many people 30, 40, 50 years, in a worthless pigeonhole religion. And to them, God is that little bit of speck of meaninglessness and vanity. They can just go to church, you know, clang, 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 like the monkey, little monkey with the little symbols. It's all noise and religion and repetition of nonsense. And clang, 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 clang. And the battery runs out. And then you gotta put them in, clang, 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 clang. No growth, no reality. And people get locked into that mode of mediocrity and boredom because they forget who God is, and they get bitter, and then they start looking for a place to vent or flow in their bitterness. They start looking at the world around them, and they see everyone's just like them, worthless and mad and angry. And so they take hold of the bitterness that surrounds the human heart without God, and just start going with that, and everybody's and start biting and fighting and carrying on. I don't want to ever be like that. I know men in ministry like that. They're just bitter. They're not focused and balanced and really thinking. They're not forgiving men. They don't forgive, you know. Unlike myself, I've always been an open and forgiving person. If people repent, I've always forgiven people. And they know it too, whether they want to admit it or not. It's the evidence speaks for itself. But some people aren't like that way. They're very bitter, very angry at everybody. And I don't want to ever be like that. I want to always grow. I want to always have the Lord convict me. I want to always be in the place where God is speaking and I'm listening. Because if I don't, I'm truly dead. I want to be able to open a Bible and go, wow, God spoke, and we really learned. Psalm 106. To keep telling people how wonderful God is and how rotten we are. Keep reminding us just how rotten we really are. Maybe one day it'll click. How merciful God is, and that we respond properly to it. It being the mercy. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Who knows every single act of the power of God and every reason to praise God because of it? We don't praise God enough for what we claim to know. We can never outpraise the mighty acts of God. We can't see all the reasons for praise, which means we should be praising him all the time, because I'm sure we'll always be short in praise. We'll always owe God a debt of praise. No matter how much we praise him, we can keep praising him. We'll never be able to pay back God in praise for the things which he has done for us. Never. Psalm 145. Amazing. Verse 3, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. I mean, his power is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, shall declare thy mighty acts. That's what I do here. Teach the generations that are after me about the power of God. Pray one day that those generations we teach will teach the further generation. You know, we were talking last night, you actually witnessing the power of God. You know, years later, you get married, you have children, you could teach them. I not only know it from the Bible, and that's the primary source where we teach the power of God, because this is God's work, but I've witnessed his power. I've been a testimony. Not only was I a witness, I was a participant to the blessing, because the blessing that affected maybe my father and mother directly also affected me directly or indirectly. We're all witnesses and participants in the mighty hand of God. You know, I've watched God do this and do this and do this, and I've seen it, so I can tell you with great conviction, I know the hand of God, because I've witnessed his hand in how he dealt with my parents, and I believe God. Not only for that, but because he has revealed his mighty hand to me in salvation, and my life has never been the same. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. There we go again. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and to the glorious majesty of his kingdom. I don't see anywhere here it's talking about the glory of some stupid preacher or some great choir or choir or some personal renown, some stupid piece of clay, a man with clay feet we throw up there, or some kind of great something, sub or some woman, something, something. This is about God. We haven't figured it out yet. It's because we don't want to figure it out. I don't care about making some person known, the next generation, but you need to listen to some. You need to listen to the Lord. About if you listen to no one else, you need to listen to the Lord. I don't care if you never had a Christian radio. Listen, listen. The church was doing fine without Christian radio. Okay? The church grew when the focus was only God. Then we start getting diverted to our favorite Bible bud, and stuff started messing up. You know, we don't see these tools that God gives us to bring us to him, to help to teach us about him. No, we start gathering men to ourselves, the new Corinthianism. Well, I'm a so-and-so. Well, I'm a McGee. I'm a MacArthur. I'm a Swindoll. And I'm a Chuck Smith. Well, and you have the worst group. Well, you know, we all of Jesus over him. Everybody has their followers. And it behooves all y'all men to rebuke the living daylights out of these people and tell them you don't want none. We are all programmed and directed to go to God. Lead these worshipers of you to God. I don't want no follower. Never ask for a follower. Never. It's always and forever been about the Lord. Everybody knows it that's been listening to this word. Everybody knows it. It's a question of whether you've been doing it. Verse 2 of Psalm 150. We'll get finished with it. This won't be today. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. God is be praised for the multitude of his greatness, or the greatness of his greatness. The greatness of the greatness. The multitude of his greatness, which is great. And the greatness of it, both in infinite number and infinite depth or quality. The greatness of his greatness. Who's saying this stuff today? Where? Praise should correspond to the limitless vastness of his greatness. Obviously, we could never praise God enough, therefore. And for that reason, he is to be praised continually and ceaselessly, because we could never outdo the praise of God in conjunction to the works that he has done. People are waiting for something to happen before they praise God. You ain't paid your praise debt to God. What are you waiting for? Why all of the mute lips in the church makes no sense. God is to be praised in accordance to his greatness. It didn't say anything about praise God only because of what he does to me. No. According to or in conjunction to his the greatness of his greatness, his excellent greatness. That's reason enough. Second, 1 Chronicles 16. And then we're done. 1 Chronicles 16. And we're going to see this theme over and over and over again. And we have. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 through 26. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen. Didn't say the glory of a person. Well, you need to go to our church over. You need to go to and hear Rick Warren. You need to hear Chuck Smith. You need to hear John MacArthur. You need to hear who else? You need to hear Joel Osteen. You need to hear Reverend Price. You need to hear, you know, T.D. Jakes. You need to hear fill in the blank. Well, you tell the heathen that. Declare his glory among the heathen. It's amazing how we're so quick to want to tell somebody about some dumb preacher and so slow, if at all, we afraid to tell people about the Lord. Want to put a track in someone's hand. I want to invite you to my church. I want to invite you to no church. Listen, if there's one big giant problem, oh, God knows I've been saying this forever. One of the biggest problems we've seen is inviting the heathen to church. They need to be invited to salvation. We need to declare his glory among them. It's not getting a bunch of unsaved people in the church. Don't we get it? Because we're too lazy and too scared and too ignorant because we don't know the glory of God to tell anybody about him. That's what the problem is. We're scared. I'm scared. You should be telling his glory among the people. His marvelous works among all nations. This ain't about telling anybody. It didn't say declare the glory of Moses. It did not say declare the glory of Paul or Saul or Bartholomew or Thaddeus or Peter or James or John or Andrew or Simon or Thomas. These were apostles. They didn't even glorify themselves. And they're far better preachers than we ever hoped to be. And used of God, they perform miracles. It's a miracle if we open up a Bible. It doesn't say anything about praising these men. These men were servants. They delivered the message of the gospel, got beaten and killed for it. Today we lift them up and make them into many gods. It says declare his glory among the heathen. His marvelous works among all nations. God's people are responsible to let the world know about the goodness, the power, the majesty, and the splendor, and the beauty of God. It's our responsibility. Not the responsibility of some tract or some person we deem could do a better job than us because we don't know him and too lazy to learn. I'm not a surrogate. You come behind me to do your job? You know, well, if Pastor Harley says, and it must be true, don't even talk to me with that nonsense. Do you know the Lord? We're responsible. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are nothing. Idols. The Lord made the heavens. That's why he's to be feared. Because only the Lord is the creator. A constant running theme in the entire Bible. The evidence, one of the greatest evidences of the fact that God is who he is because he created something out of nothing and sustains it all. And no one else and nothing else is able to create something out of nothing. Period. All this is created out of nothing by the word of his power, his infinite power. We're responsible to tell people about the Lord. I don't want some telescope or something. Well, you need to. In class, we learned today. Listen, I don't need no class to tell people about the Lord. That's why we have a Bible. If I know him, I should let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If I've been redeemed of the Lord, I should be able to tell people, look, I've been redeemed by the mighty God. People say, well, the heathen say, well, how'd you get a job? God gave me the job. The Lord was gracious and merciful, and he gave me this job. And they looked at me with their mouth wide open. Let me say it again, in case you didn't hear it the first time because of the shock. I said, thank you, God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, and give me this job. On the job I'm at now, thanking God for the job I'm getting. They're all in shock. Thank God for your merciful hand, your powerful and merciful hand. In the worst economy in California, Lord, you gave me give me a great job. Thank you, God, for your mercy. And may I honor the woman who is trusting in me to help her in her work and to serve her and to serve as unto you, Lord, faithfully and glorify you in all of it. Even the brother said, this is all of God. Mr. Harley, this is all of God. We stand there just raise our hand and giving God glory. I ain't ashamed of my Lord. Many of you have no idea. This has been one stressful 7-day period. Last Friday, I'm done with it. Last Friday, God used me and another man to perform CPR on a man who frankly was dead a few times. But I got a chance to visit him yesterday at the hospital, and he's got a long way to go. But every time, you know, the man's father said, you saved my son's life. I said, no, I don't know how to respond. And I said, the Lord showed mercy to your boy. The Lord Jesus Christ allowed me and John to get in there and do the job. I said, from the moment that I turned that corner and we went through the timeline, and he cried. He said, the Lord did that. The father said, the Lord did this. He said, there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord used you as a vessel to save my son's life. And I couldn't even respond to that except to say, may God be glorified in your son's life, because I did not do anything other than what the Lord said. I said, well, how'd you do it? The Lord said it. I said, I'm down there praying your son don't die. I'm praying, Lord, don't let this boy die. Because I would, to have my hands on his chest first and not know whether I was responsible for not doing the right thing or I did it wrong or whatever, and he dies, that's something I would never forget. And when his father told me yesterday that his son was alive and he was talking, tears come out of my eyes on the phone. I just said, thank you, God, he's alive. That you have mercy upon him and mercy on me too. And when I went to saw the boy yesterday, he's got a long way to go, but he knew me. He remembered, Harley, he's all loopy. But God willing, he will recover. His name is Jim. All you folk out there, listen, you pray for Brother Jim, and I'll keep you posted. But it's been some week, but in all of it, God's glorified. And I want to live for God's glory. I want to make sure that everything I do is properly going to give God the glory that he alone deserves. Not a man. It wasn't me. It was not me. It was not my skill and all that. No, it was the mercy of God. That's all it was. I just kept it. Sir, it's the Lord. Give him glory. And everyone I ran to in this family, and I believe me, I ran to a bunch of them, big family, I said, it was the Lord. Give glory to Christ. Period. It's his mercy on your son or your brother's life, on your friend's life. It's not me. So I'm just thankful to be there. But really, it's about him and only him. It was a glorious time of testimony to the Lord. I'm telling you just how God just exalted himself. And may God continue to be glorified in all that we do. Because from day to day, you never know what he will bring you to or bring to you to glorify him. But just do yourself a great favor. Glorify God. In everything. No matter what happens, there are a lot of people out there hurting. A lot of people hurting. You know, I know what you're going through. Glorify him anyway. Don't try this with praise God anyhow nonsense. I'm not saying that. So you focus your attention on who is supreme in all this. And you might be surprised what you see. And you might be surprised what God will do. I know it is to focus your attention on the stuff and things around you. You don't know where your next whatever is coming from. I'm here to tell you, let all that stuff go. Release all that from your hands. Stop trying to be God of your life. Let it go. That's the place I had to get to. Let it. So Lord, if you take it all, take it. I don't even care anymore. I don't even want to bother. Take it. Take the house. Take the car. Take it. Take it. I don't want to stop burdening my mind. Just Lord, take it all. If we live in the backseat of a car, fine. I don't care. A few days later, God honored that. Once we let that stuff go, it's all temporal anyway. It's all His. We dedicate the stuff to Him. We got to, oh Lord, this is your car. We got the house. Lord, we pray, this is your house. When our babies are born, Lord, we dedicate our children to you. We said to our Lord, we are dedicated to you, right? We said all these things were dedicated to God. Well, didn't we give it to Him? Lord, I thank you for the job that you gave me. And I said that when I was at Metro. Lord, I thank you for the job you gave me. So it was all His. We thank God for our daily bread. Why? Because it's all His. You know? We thank God for tiny paychecks we got them, right? Because they're all His. And the blessing of the saints when they, you know, ministered what little bit they could, the few that helped us. And, you know, we thank God for that too. It's all His. Everything is of Him. And then God said, well, it's you learned your lesson. Now, you can be entrusted with something with responsibility that's way beyond. You're going to need me big time. And Lord, and my baby said, Daddy, I'm going to pray big prayers, great prayers for you. I said, you keep right on there. Don't you stop, because I'm going to need the biggest, greatest, honkingest prayers you got. Because God is wonderful and entrusting a great, great present and a great future in the hands of this worthless dog. May God be glorified in all things. Lord, thank you for who you are. The greatness of your power, the greatness of your greatness, we cannot begin to comprehend. But Lord, we be fools not to do it. We can't say because we don't comprehend, we can't say anything. That's insane. Lord, the greatness of your power compels people to give you glory. So may we do that, Lord. I pray for Jim, Lord. I pray that you would raise that boy up to give him his mind back, Lord. Pray for his family. Oh, pray for his father. Pray for Tom, who's so tired, stressed out. Lord, I just pray for all the family members that they would see your hand in all this, Lord. I pray, Father, for Dr. Rita, that you would give her your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And thank you, God, immensely forever for the privilege of working side by side to help her and to uplift her in her work that touches many lives, including my own, Lord. The things that she has allowed me to take nutritionally wise has helped my life immensely. Lord, may you continue to use her in ways, Lord, beyond her understanding and me as well. Thank you for the mercies and the grace that you constantly shower upon us, Lord. May you be exalted and glorified. Thank you for your mercies, Lord, to my family. And I do pray, Lord, for those over in Port-au-Prince and all that land, Lord, devastated by your mighty power and the message that you're sending to them, Lord, and to this world, is that you and you alone have the power, Lord, to give life, the power to take it as it serves your purposes. And we have no right to question you, Lord, at all. You know exactly what you're doing. We don't. We don't even care about anybody until some tragedy happens. Then we act like we have a right to question you, when we don't even worship you at all, when we go through our day-to-day and our day-to-day hedonism and avarice and greed, and then we want to act like we're theologians. Lord, we are to be ashamed of ourselves. May you be exalted. Exalt yourself. Whatever, Lord, whatever you do, exalt yourself. We do pray that there would be a massive repentance and a massive turning to you, Lord, to those who do live. And all the black arts and voodoo and all kinds of wickedness that is over in that land and this land too. And we're not going to escape your wrath. Lord, help us to focus our attention upon repentance and faith in you. Lord, help us, Lord, to seek your mind and will, to rejoice in you. And thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.